Folks, welcome back to the show where it's not wrestling with your conscience. It's not wrestling with your budget. It is wrestling with emotion. And we are inside of 3 weeks away from the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania XL. And we have all kinds of blockbuster signings joining on the other side for AEW and all kinds of stuff happening in the wrestling world. So let's get him in here. You know him. He has a cat day on the calendar. Slick Saturday. You know him. He's your friend. He's my friend. He's our friend. Jake, Micah, the Prophet, Rob, Ryan. Dress pants? No. Sweatpants? Joe. We got 716 Ali. Perchance Marky Markington, but not Mark. This man, do not call this man a Mark, okay? He is the head of the table. He is the tribal chief on Wrestling with Emotion. Michael J. Partham. I acknowledge him. But with that said, gents, let's get into it. We had a great Raw last night with some Bloodline storyline developments. Right now, up to date, we got Rock talking trash on Instagram. We got Jimmy and Jay ready to go to blows. That's all set. That is, someone's going to get the yeeted out of them. But we've got Cody and Roman alone on Friday. Does this seem like too obvious? I feel like just to have the Bloodline attack, it would be a little too obvious. But you guys tell me what's going on. Slick, Jake. What's going on with the Bloodline, and what are you expecting to see Friday?
Jake, you can go ahead, because I really have no idea.
Slick is lost right now with this Bloodline.
All I know is they're going to talk shit on Friday. A lot of shit.
No, but I'm in line with that, because I don't know which direction they're going to go with this. It was interesting having Heyman come right in and into this almost a little bit like last year, right? Like Heyman shows up. It was a big promo leading up to last year.
Emotional situation. You're not sure what's happening.
But Cody was in control of it a lot more this time, right? Like Cody kind of got worked over a little bit by Paul last year. And I felt like Cody was on the offensive in this. So maybe that's the strategy he goes with. Maniac, you mentioned it earlier too. And Slick, this is what I just think it ends up with. Is Cody's going to go alone because he's a dumb baby face. And the Bloodline is 100% going to be there. And they're going to beat the shit out of Cody Rhodes. And maybe if we're lucky, bloody him up on national TV. Like an old school, just like classic heel beat down of a baby face before a show. I feel like we're due for that from the Bloodline. Like we've seen the Bloodline talking a lot, right? Like that's all we've seen them do for 3 weeks. They need to do something to Cody. So I think they got to get one up on him here. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what's going to happen. I do think, obviously, the Bloodline's going to be there. I mean, who doesn't think that they're going to be there? But it's interesting to think about who else will be there. Will Jay be there? Will we hear some? I'm blanking on Jay's music right now, but Parthy's going to love that one. But, I mean, there's going to be people there. But
it's just me, Ooze.
Bloodline's going to be there. The question is Cody going to be dumb enough to not bring anyone?
Well, I would say that, honestly, I could see it being one of two things outside of what everyone else is thinking, which is the Bloodline is going to come in and interfere. But I think there's two other options, which is option one, they actually do just cut a solo promo. No pun intended there for solo. But then I think another option is bringing in another member of the Bloodline we haven't seen yet. You know, there's a couple other people who, you know, the dirt sheets are reporting. One could have already signed. There's another prospective. And I could see maybe them bringing in someone else.
That's a very, very interesting take. I told you guys back at SummerSlam what I want to see. More Samoans. Bring them all. Bring the entire dynasty in for this. Bring Rikishi. Bring Fatu. He is Fatu. My bad. Bring Appa. Bring Sika. Bring them all. Bring them all in. Let's have fun with this.
My only issue with that is, like, if they do bring another one in, like, isn't that still, like, they can't just be like, oh, now after he beat your ass, he's part of the Bloodline. Like, he never was before. That's why he's allowed here. Like, that's the only problem I have with that. Otherwise, like, you know, like, another Fatu with Tommy Tonga would be pretty cool. But
yeah,
is there any possibility that we get Dustin?
No.
Well,
he did say fuck The Rock.
Fuck The Rock.
That was sick.
What were those belts he was holding, by the way?
Those were the, I think, the
Were they the tag?
He was at an indie show because I saw a tweet with him when he had like his nephews, more roads on the way, had won their first tag team title, but I can't remember what the promotion was.
I need The Rock to open up his next Instagram video with "fuck you, Goldust." I always thought you were fucking lame.
Right. The Rock concert, having Stardust show up on the screen popped me. I was not expecting.
Yeah, to see that Stardust was pretty back good.
I mean, come on, you had to know Stardust is coming at some point in this damn. Organization for sure. But speaking of the same organization, so then we got The Rock coming what? So this will be this coming week on Raw?
The week after.
No,
so we're probably not going to get. So that's, oh, sorry. So that's 2 weeks away. So that'll be the Raw before the RBW, the Raw right. before. Yes. Kind of, he doesn't even need to really be announced. Kind of assume he'll be there, in my opinion. But yeah, so talk to me, guys. I don't want to get too in it because we could talk about it forever. It could be its own show. What, anything specific we want to see over these next, like this next week or two, anything we want to see on SmackDown specifically, Raw next week?
More emphasis on Roman and Cody as opposed to The Rock and Cody. You know, I feel like WWE's forgetting that there is a night two main event that is historic and very important to us fans because we've been along for this ride. I'll say for the entirety of Cody's career. Now, I obviously wasn't a big fan of dashing Cody Rhodes, but now that he's made something of himself and he's over with the fans, this is something that we deserve a proper buildup to. And I feel like The Rock is just overshadowing Roman a lot here.
I got to say one thing real quick before Partham jumps in. As a Rollins mark, and I know Micah is too for sure, the fact that Rollins is having a modern day feud with The Rock is amazing. That's all I got to say. That's not something that anyone could have predicted a couple of years ago. So I'm excited about that. But Markle, take it away.
Markle. All right, guys. As far as additions to the bloodline, any of the ones that are on the independent circuit here.
All right, guys. Come on now. Sorry.
Do I have to mute you, Slick? Come on. As far as any additions to the bloodline, they're not going to happen until after WrestleMania, because that's when new debuts usually happen. They're not going to just shoehorn guys that we've never heard of like 2 weeks before WrestleMania. And I get the work around the loophole of when Big Show was fired and, you know, nobody is going to interfere with John Cena's match versus Name Redacted back in the day. You know, people power and all that stuff. They did something similar way back in 99 when a Big Boss Man was, like, fired from the corporation. And then someone mysteriously puts the briefcase higher so Steve Austin can't get to the top of the ladder and get it. And all of a sudden he's welcomed back with open arms on Monday. Anyway, I don't see any new additions to the bloodline. I don't see any run-ins with the bloodline, current or new members. Because, you know, the bloodline are the heels, yes, but I don't remember Roman ever just out and out lying, or even Paul Heyman as the wise man ever out and out lying, saying something's going to happen, or you have my assurances that this is not going to happen, and then they go back on their word. Because I guess it's some kind of tribal honor, you could call it, or whatever. I don't see this ending in a bloodline beatdown of Cody. Cody's going to show up alone, and I think Roman's going to show up alone. Maybe Paul Heyman will be by his side, but they're basically going to catch up on the last year, and Roman's going to say the same old, we've been through this before. What makes you think you can beat me again? And Cody's going to state all the reasons he's going to want to finish his story. What two things that I want Cody to point out is how few title defenses Roman's had and how much help he is needed, like sort of tribal court style when they were showing all the evidence of Sami Zayn and, you know, what he's done for the bloodline and all that stuff. I want him to like put it on the Titantron. Here's all the times that you needed help to win your matches. What makes you the tribal chief? What makes you God mode? Last year, you got lucky because Solo had to win the match for you. And this time it's going to be different because we're going to win the tag match in night one. I don't think they're actually going to win the tag match in night one. And it's just going to be me and you on night two. And we're going to see who's going to finish their story.
Wow.
You know what I find odd about that is that Cody's like not mentioning that tag. I mean, he's mentioned the tag, but he's not mentioning the stakes of it that much. Like he was going towards I'm going to win the title, but never actually mentioned winning the title. So like, he's not really, it's weird that he's not mentioning those stakes at all, where it could be one-on-one or it could be bloodline rules. So I agree with that I want to see him start mentioning that starting Friday.
It'll come
up. Well, I think last night he did say something about it being bloodline rules if he does lose the tag, but he's definitely
basically not. Just said like he doesn't know what the outcome's gonna be, which I also thought was kind of stupid, because like, dude, you should be like, we're gonna win.
If the result of WrestleMania is the bloodline being taken down, it makes a lot more sense for that to happen starting night one. And it really, like, I don't know where I'm leading that way, but it's hard to see, like, why, unless Rock was just like, hey, let's beat up these two guys, and then I'm going to get mad at him over the next, like, 3 hours of WrestleMania programming, because this is an interesting situation where we have the two-night WrestleMania, and it's, like, last year was obviously a plot thread from the main events to this way, but this is the first time they've done it, like, strictly in two shows in a row like that.
Listen, this is the privilege of, you know, having longevity, whether it's Gunther with the IC title or Roman with his title. Now that I've been doing shows with Micah for years, I know that this is a classic Micah overthink. He's had too long to think about it. They want to have their Avengers set up. They want all the odds stacked against Cody. You think The Rock isn't going to go to Mama Rhodes at the end of it? You think The Rock's going to walk away like a bitch from Mama Rhodes on night one? Like, come on, you are mistaken.
I don't know. I'm not saying that I think it's going to happen.
You ain't got the sauce, and you can mess with the final boss, okay?
Just because there's a stipulation that the Bloodline may or may not get involved in night two doesn't mean they won't get involved in night one.
Oh, they're
they are most definitely getting involved in night two.
Tag match is going to be absurd.
You might as well put the Bloodline tree on the Jumbotron, because that's what we're basically going to be getting.
I don't think they're going to get any help on night one. I don't think the baby faces are going to see.
You don't think Solo and Jimmy are going to be running around?
No, I think the heels.
Where have you been?
I said the baby faces.
Yeah, baby faces have no help. No help, boy. Sammy against Gunther on night one or something. They'll make up some like little kayfabe excuse, because Hunter does a good job at storytelling.
Even if it were to be Bloodline was banned from ringside night two, would any of you be completely 110% convinced that not a single member would make their way down to the ring somehow?
Well, what would be
Exhibit A, SummerSlam 2023
in that circumstance?
I'm asking you a simple yes or no question.
No, because they're supposed to give their word. They're supposed to sign the contracts. And I assume because there's contracts signed in that circumstance, there's going to be punishments and repercussions if they don't follow it.
Cody needs to post Samoa Joe from NXT that one time.
Artham, once that ref goes down, I'm gonna be laughing my ass off.
Forget about what happened at SummerSlam? Were you at SummerSlam? I know of the train wreck guys were.
Which 2023.
Where it was tribal combat, where there's no outside interference whatsoever. And guess what? His twin brother interfered.
And they never answered for that, by the way.
Just to be clear,
we can credit all the stories that they never gave a reason why that happened, why that was legitimate, what that played into tribals. But I'm still pumped up for tribal rules on night two. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Solo singing the national anthem. Look, point proven, just like I said, that we could spend a year on talking about the Bloodline. So, there's going to be some exciting times to come. Obviously, like we said, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. Speaking of a good time to be a wrestling fan, last week, boys, this last week of programming from whether it's AEW or Raw, especially Raw last night, I thought was one of the best Raws I can honestly remember. Can you hear me? Sorry, I just got an alert. We had a great last woman standing match to end the night. So with that said, let's get some trivia presented by our friends at Batavia Downs. Discover why Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel is the area's premier entertainment destination. And you can also watch, wager, and win at your local OTB. So I got two trivia questions. I don't know if they mentioned it last night on the broadcast. So let's see. But with that said, what was the first last woman standing match?
Was it Ronda and somebody?
It was within the last half decade or so. Or no, actually a little bit more than a half decade, but it was not Ronda and anybody.
Charlotte? Was Sasha one of them?
Nope.
Wow. Charlotte and Becky?
It was Charlotte and Becky at the Evolution pay-per-view. It was the main event.
Nassau Coliseum, may I mention.
Hey, there we go.
There you go, the prophet getting his spot in. And then my other trivia question: when was the last time there was a last woman standing match on WWE Raw with a live crowd?
Oh wow!
Oh, on Raw.
On Raw.
That's this is last sense. Woman or last just last,
last
man?
Woman's last woman.
I want to say like 2018, maybe.
You're close. It's 2019. It was October 7th, 2019. Now, who are the competitors?
Oh man, Asuka.
Last woman standing match on Raw. Nope.
Was this one Sasha?
Nope.
Charlotte.
Nope.
Ronda.
Ronda.
Nope.
Wow, who was the last woman standing?
Nia Jax.
I have no idea.
Santina Marella.
Nope.
Nia Jax.
Nia and like Trish.
Not thank you, Trish.
Nah, Shayna might have been in NXT.
Nia, Shayna.
Are these people still in the company?
One of them is, and one of them is not.
Okay, so and Sasha wasn't one of them?
Nope.
Wow.
Is it Tony Storm?
Think about Ernie Green's favorite wrestler.
I'm guessing Lacey Evans was in it again.
Oh, Lacey Evans and Liv Morgan?
Nope. By the way, this was the day after that Duke Williams caught the game-winning touchdown against the Tennessee Titans.
Nice.
Jeez.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It stumped us.
Wait, hold on.
Wow.
Thank you, Batavia Downs. What a trivia question. The boys get stumped. You will not get stumped at Batavia Downs, the region's premier entertainment decision. Oh. We just lost. What the hell? That was sketchy. Did you guys just go form a faction or something?
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring this up. We could talk. Let me go round table storylines, but just wrapping up on WWE stuff. We saw great tag title matches last night. The six pack match. I think 4 out of 6 spots are filled. Now the DIY match was, when I commented, I thought it was something you get out of a takeover almost with the antics and the finish. I thought that was awesome. Then you have the last one.
Say something about that real quick.
Get in there, Joe.
In the chat, we were talking about how the crowd had like no reaction when DIY came out. There was like none. By the end of the match, everyone was on their feet. They were going nuts because that match was awesome. So that's awesome. All I wanted to say.
Brutus, those Brutus guys are the real deal.
I mean, I think that's fair, right? Because
Creed Brothers, I'm sorry.
These live crowds, you're gonna get 90% of people who haven't seen NXT haven't seen takeovers at the end of the day. So their only exposure to Gargano and Ciampa were kind of like two random guys that were brought up. I forget what Vince was doing with them, but he like brought them up like when they were feuding in NXT, but then brought them up as like a tag team to WWE or something, like some weird situation. But yeah, I mean, they're going to win over crowds if they keep doing performances like last night.
I mean,
go ahead, Dolly.
I was just going to say,
DIY has been putting on bangers.
Yeah.
For sure. So with that said, should they get after the tag titles? Should they maybe be the contender? You see them winning over crowds. They're going to be a six-pack match. We got New Day. We got DIY confirmed with it. We got Judgment Day. And then who's the other one?
Awesome Truth.
Bruce Slick's favorite win last night.
With the remix.
I mean, like, I love R-Truth and I love the silly stuff, but, like, I'm not a fan of Awesome Truth that much. And that win was just ridiculous. If you're going to do that, you can't have it over 2 6-foot-5 Indian hoss daddies.
Absolute hoss daddies.
That literally look like a Bigfoot caught on tape.
Being a hoss daddy in the back and like, oh, yeah, you're going to get accidentally kicked and R-Truth is going to fall on
you. Sorry, R-Truth is going to go over on you after you knock yourself out in the ring, even though you're like 300 pounds bigger than him. It doesn't matter.
A young and upcoming talent, time for R-Truth to go over, as always.
I mean, it reminds me of the
story.
It reminds me of the Reginald stuff.
I agree. Is this ultimately Truth's redemption arc to come back and take this? I mean, because, taking titles from the Judgment Day for them is a great story.
Yeah.
I got to say, after those three great, I mean, 2.5 great tag matches last night, and probably two more on Friday to fill those spots, I'm so much more excited for this six-pack ladder match. Like, I love a tag team ladder match frenzy to begin with, but these teams and the matches they've been putting on just to qualify, it's really built my anticipation. And you always know Judgment Day is going to show up and do some shit when they're involved. So I think it's going to be a great match, and I can't wait to see who the last two competitors are. But
how much is Judgment Day going to be involved? Because now it's a multi-person ladder match. It's 12 guys involved, and 10 of them are not going to be a part of the Judgment Day officially in the match. So does that negate any shenanigans on the
is there going to be a moment where eight wrestlers are down and somebody could potentially get dirty dommed?
Okay, yeah, when everybody's like dead on the sides of the ring and only two guys are left trying to climb the ladder. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely won't be running out while all eight of them are standing up. Go ahead, Ollie.
Well, speaking of last night's match, and this is something that's just been happening, and I freaking love it. But what do you guys think about R-Truth hitting the five moves of Doom?
It's amazing. Childhood hero.
Oh my god. Was it Michael Cole who said that?
McAfee was like, he grew up watching John Cena.
And ironically,
like 20 years younger.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It reminds me of some of the Miz's best work when he just stole Daniel Bryan's moveset. And his whole point was that he could do Daniel Bryan's moveset safer and like a better thing. It was amazing. What did he call the kicks?
That's right.
I couldn't get it. The kicks were amazing. Oh, that was absolute cinema when he was doing that.
I saw someone tweet yesterday that R-Truth is going to try and pin someone in this match.
That's too easy.
Or throw him over the top rope. He thinks it's the Royal Rumble.
Just the concept of 12 people in a ladder match is insane to me. This is going to be nuts.
Sign me up every time, no matter who it is.
Yeah, at Mania, we're not talking about like a random other pay-per-view.
Before we move on, I still do think, and those matches last night just prove it, I still think these tag titles need to be split. And I've seen rumors that it may happen at WrestleMania with some... with some shenanigans, maybe one team pulls down one and the other one are still up there. And here comes Adam Pearce or Nick Aldis.
Or a simultaneous pull down. Like two teams grab at the same time and they both grab a set of belts.
Yeah, he grabs two of the belts because he just...
I feel like that would be really anticlimactic, though.
But it would be funny, though, if you had
Pearce not having to forfeit him.
Oh, my God. Imagine, though, they did that and then Pearce comes out and he's like, all right, you guys got to have another match right now, like, or something like that. That'd be funny. But then it doesn't split them, so I don't know.
They could do it. If it's night one, they could always do it, like, titles on night two, if there's something like that, too.
Yeah, apparently you could just, everyone can pull double duty at WrestleMania now. WWE realized that they could just why only have
work an extra day?
Oh, seriously, of course.
We're paying them both.
That said, cinema to end last night. We had Becky versus Nia Jax, great match. Credit to Nia. Great match for the end of Raw. Becky, Rhea. Woo, Rhea Ripley. I don't know.
I mean,
there's probably only...
No, but I think this is the foregone conclusion, guys. Come on.
What, that Becky's going to win?
And Rhea's going to win.
Okay, why is that a foregone conclusion?
I agree with
you. Because Mommy's always on top.
Because who's going to
beat her?
Mommy
is always on top.
Becky just had a last woman standing match 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. That doesn't bode well for her when Rhea was just sitting in the back, just hanging out, chilling with Judgment Day.
Can I say great match, but Nia Jax had nothing to do with that match being great. Becky carried her.
But to take that leg bump to the table, I don't know. I think you get a little dap for that, Slickeroni. Yeah.
It was a good
I would take that leg bump too.
Wrestler out there.
That was probably the best match.
I love Becky as an in-ring worker, but that promo she cut in the back where she was acting like super angry, I feel like they got to stop booking her to act in such intense roles.
That is true. Becky didn't cut her teeth or whatever, you know, on acting. Like it was that she fucking was beating ass in the ring, broke her nose, didn't give a fuck, standing over the crowd, going crazy. Like it wasn't words. Like, and I get, you know, that WWE, you do make your bacon like by talking on the mic and doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
but it's also the style that you book her in, you know.
Does everyone agree with Partham? This is a five gone conclusion that Rhea is going to just smush Becky.
No, I don't know.
I think it's going to be a great match.
I
could see
potentially them taking match of the night.
I could see them taking all the titles off of Judgment Day, and then so Becky becoming champion. So they could go that
way. Rhea is so over with the crowd that she may be the babyface in this match, even though Becky's technically the babyface.
I also just look into the numbers game that if we think between – it's look at how you look at all the main titles too, because is Bayley or Becky more likely to win the title? I feel like Bayley is
I think Bayley's 100% more likely, for sure. Yeah. But the one thing I want to say is that what's more important to Rhea's being over status in the WWE? The head of the Judgment Day or the woman's champion?
Woman's
champion. I think it's head of the Judgment
Day. She can stand on her own if you want
to. I say both.
Woman's champion does not necessarily get TV time all the time.
True.
As pointed out by Io Sky. When was the last time you saw Io Sky by yourself doing a bunch of stuff? Never? Never? Well, February? She also 31st of February?
Io's not as over as Rhea.
She also doesn't speak English.
But I'm saying, point being, that things can happen in that regard.
No, like, I agree.
And when you're the head of a faction,
did they do a good job though? Did they do a good job with Bianca Belair, who was champion, dominant for a while though? So I don't know if they're ready to give it up on Rhea yet. Because Bianca's without WrestleMania plans right now. Still, like, we have some ideas, but that's kind of crazy to think about going into WrestleMania after she's headlined the last couple of years. So
and she was maybe avoid that with Rhea.
I say
she did get the cover and the Hulu show.
Give Rhea a 3-year reign. Fuck it.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I know we got March Madness coming up in 10 minutes. So let's put a wrap on the WrestleMania talk here with some Sammy, Gunther, Chad talk. This is like a soap opera. We got crying kids being brought into it. We got all kinds of emotions. But with that said, Gunther, world class. I think this should ultimately be Sammy Gunther, even though Chad does have kind of like a good deranged angle that he's kind of working. Anyone have any thoughts on this? Anyone have any, thing outside the box for this angle that coming up, Parthy?
It kind of reminds me of last year when everybody was getting behind Sammy and his challenging Roman Reigns for the title, when, Cody was essentially the heir apparent, the winner of the Royal Rumble, and he was going to challenge Roman at WrestleMania. And a lot of people were getting behind Sammy with his story with the Bloodline and thinking, well, why don't we have Sammy win the title in Montreal? And of course, they ultimately didn't do that, but they did something very smart. They had Cody sort of give Sammy the pat on the back and said, you go finish your story and then we'll see who finishes theirs at WrestleMania. So as not to, let the crowd get totally behind Sammy and forget about Cody and almost go against Cody because they're totally behind Sammy. Now it's sort of a role reversal for Sammy where he's the sort of chosen one, where everybody was in the short term getting behind Chad Gable and his reigniting of his wanting to redeem himself for his loss to Gunther, his daughter crying and all that stuff. So now they're having, it's sort of the opposite now. Instead of the pat on the back, Chad's sort of challenging him to say, I couldn't beat him and neither can you because Gunther's on a different level. And how are you going to be able to do this? So it's putting Sammy in the underdog role again. And Chad's saying, well, that's not going to be good enough. So it's almost, they're trying to convince people we know you like Chad, but he wasn't going to beat Gunther either. And now he's trying to tell Sammy that he's not going to beat Gunther to put it on our heads that it's not possible. And I'm not sure if they're going to pull the trigger on Sammy beating Gunther, but I do know that the Sammy Chad dynamic is trying to get the crowd behind Sammy more because they, in the short term, wanted to see Chad do it. But I think they're trying to, pump Sammy up as much as they can.
That was amazing. That was like the Steiner math version of this situation. I got to be honest, because it all made sense.
Good analysis.
But really, everything was flying left and right. There's a lot of angles at play. I agree. Tough exactly to zero in. Does anyone else have any thoughts? A chatty daddy on this?
I want chatty daddy. I do.
I mean, I do too. I do too, but I just don't think you can insert him like right into this. It's for building the story, as Partham was saying. There's really not much more you could say after Partham said it, but I would love to know Sami Zayn's odds going into this match, because this to me feels like it could go either way. I don't know.
Well, it's one on my match. He's got a 50% chance of winning. But if you put Ed Chad Gable in the mix, he's got a 33 1/3 chance of winning.
Because he knows.
he knows he can't beat him.
One thing I will say, if Gunther does lose, right, do we see Gunther as world heavyweight champion by Bash in Berlin?
No.
But he'll be in the picture right away.
Will he be even allowed to be there?
He might win it there.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, why would he? Yeah. Imagine having that as a crowning moment. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, that's a good point, because his visa issues right now, he's not really allowed to leave the country. So
also, don't forget that Gunther's theme is the real final boss.
When is the bash in Berlin?
When? It's after SummerSlam, I believe, right?
That is, it's at the Clash to the Castle day, right? Like Labor Day or whatever.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it's the new Clash to the Castle, right?
We got time.
That's why SummerSlam used to be like, I think, closer to the end of August, but then they moved that way up so that they could space it out for those pay-per-views for sure. All right. Well, hey, a lot to look forward to. We got, again, like we said, just under 3 weeks till WrestleMania. We got about just under five-ish minutes till March Madness gets underway. So let's get into our own madness. Tomorrow on Dynamite. We've been waiting for this one for a while. And I mean, I don't know how up to date some of you are, but Spike is in the building for this one. So with that said, what happens Copeland versus Christian tomorrow night?
Well, you could tell this being the I quit stipulation that Copeland and Christian wanted to do this. They obviously had a lot up their sleeve. You know, they've been waiting to work together again for a while. They finally got into, they've been doing some good storytelling and had two matches. And here we are at the rubber match. On this 2 weeks into this new age of Dynamite, right after one of the biggest women signings, they obviously have a lot up their sleeve for this match. Spike was definitely a wild card. That reminded me of some TNA shit. But I'm really excited. These two bring the best out of each other, whether it's on the same team or against each other. So I'm really excited. I think Christian, this is his Copeland, this is his moment that he finally gets the title off Christian without just getting it stripped right back off of him.
This is going to be, I'm just so excited to see what these two maniacs try to come up. No pun intended here, but I guess a little bit. These two, we've seen these guys build their career off doing crazy shit. And now they're in like one of their spotlight matches in a place where Edge said, we got to go back to where it started. We got to go do it in Toronto. They're going to pull it. Like, besides Spike, I can't even imagine if one of them takes like a crazy bump during this match. We get the ladders out. Like, can we get the ladders out with these two?
Please.
This is like when you thought about these two getting into a feud and having a match, you were hoping for a match like this. So I'm very excited to see what they come up with and how much time they get too on Dynamite. Cause that could tell a lot with how the pace of it is and everything else. Because how long was Edge and Randy Orton that last man standing match? It was like, or the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. That was a long match, I remember. That's the last longer match I remember from Edge. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I think Copeland finally does it. I mean, AEW likes doing this, the big matches on TV shows. I felt like maybe it would have been better at Revolution, but I'm here. I'm all for it. This match is going to be a banger. Obviously, these two have been best friends for at least for over 30 years. And they've been waiting for, like you said, they've been waiting for this moment for a long time to finally get back in the ring together. And I mean, it's just me a banger of all bangers. And I think Copeland got it.
It's going to be poetry.
Yeah, you can't say hometown going to Copeland because it's Christian's hometown too. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if they stretch this out a little longer. So we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to have a fourth match.
Time. I mean, in an I quit match, you don't have the babyface saying I quit unless he's put in a compromising position. Like, unless Killswitch comes out and he has Beth Phoenix hostage and he's about to give her a concerto or something, there's no way Adam Copeland's going to be the one saying I quit. So he's going to go over. He's going to finally get his redemption here. Be the TNT champion.
Could this be a moment where Killswitch just finally has enough in this I quit match for some reason? Because I don't know if this is the time to do it or not, but that still feels like a ticking time.
It doesn't feel like they've been building up to that. There's like hints they've dropped along the way, but it doesn't like feel like it's coming to a crescendo or anything.
Turn the patriarchy into like a soap opera once Christian loses and everyone's just fed up with each other, sure, and they have a segment every week where they're like fighting in a family house.
That would be hysterical. Honestly, I would tune
in. Family therapy.
I just Christian is just, I don't know. It's tough to see him losing at this point. I know that, you know, Edge should get over here, especially because he'll no longer call him Jay. But with that said, let's come in. We have another round of wrestling train wreck trivia brought to you by Batavia Downs. So this is not the first time these two have faced off for a title, obviously. They fought for the Intercontinental title in a ladder match. What pay-per-view was it at? This panel gets four guesses.
Four guesses.
Four guesses.
I'm not even.
What? Guess. So you got to, you know, use your logic here. This was for the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay.
It was fresh off of obviously best. Well, actually, if you want to go crazy at this point, WWE was still pitching them as essentially twin brothers. They were saying they were born on the same day to the same mother. They really were at this point. If you go back and watch the video for this feud, he wasn't just saying my brother. Like, they were literally talking about like two brothers facing off for the title.
So me and Slick are basically out of this one, right?
Partham's gone in the think tank here.
I'm dead here. I mean,
yeah. Now, here's what I'll do. Here's what I'll do. If you are over, I'll say over, and if you are under, aka early, I'll say under.
2011.
Way over.
Yeah. That's,
okay.
No. Jeez, Parthy.
Well, that's when Christian was in his like heel feud or whatever.
02.
Okay.
02 over.
Oh, wow.
97.
No,
it's over. 02.
Oh, no. O2 no. is over. No, O2 no, is under the year, so it's yeah. under. O2.
Oh, it's under. Got it.
It's probably. I don't know.
All right, I'll give you guys a hint. Since you're down to two guesses left, it was in 2001, fresh off their tag team breakup after the Attitude Era. Oh,
so Bad Blood.
Is that the guess?
I'm not gonna lock it in unless someone can corroborate. But
you couldn't even tell you what month Bad Blood was.
Wait, is it a pay per view name that they have used and recently, in like in the last 5 years, whatever?
Yeah, yeah. It's still
in
around.
The last 5 years,
it's still
yeah.
around. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And I'll give you a last twist. They have not done it in like the last 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
Oh.
Hmm. Think about it. I'm not going to use my guess, but PB. If you think about. I don't know if that was there. That
Great Balls of Fire?
No. Who could forget? Like P as in peanut, like peanut butter. PB.
What?
No, they did that last year.
I got you. I don't think that one. No.
And
that wasn't around.
All right,
then.
I'm lowering.
One more guess. Vengeance is still.
I'm lowering
Vengeance
you guys down
is.
To one guess. This pay per view had its own WWE video game at one point.
No Mercy.
Oh.
No Mercy.
Wow. I wouldn't have got that.
When the hell was the last time they did that?
They did. They did it in AJ Styles and Cena, I think.
Exactly. It was during the when they were split, SmackDown and there you go.
Wow. Look at that hat.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Continental ladder
match. And there's the WCW and ECW logos.
Yeah, Christian. Oh yeah. So what happened was when they broke up, like literally Christian just turned on Edge out of nowhere and he was with WCW, ECW out of nowhere. So
because that makes sense.
Interesting. Very interesting. That definitely makes sense. Thanks a lot to who could have thought that was good shit, pal. All right. With that said, so we all see Copeland winning then, I guess you're saying. I want Christian to win, but I guess I want the patriarch. All right. Well, hey, AEW roadmap, and we got Okada. We got Ospreay. By the way, Ospreay is going to be worth his weight in gold by the time this contract is done for AEW, because this guy can just put on banger after banger, clearly. But with that said, let's go around the horn here, put a wrap on the show. Who are you most invested in WWE AEW going forward, and what do you want to see happen with them? Parthy, you want to tip us off here?
I want to see Mercedes be a women's world champion and be crowned at All In. Ooh. I want to see... I want to see Okada win the trios titles with the Bucks, I guess, just to cement their heel status. Mm. Maybe win them away from the Acclaimed or something. And for Ospreay, he's going to have a banger with Bryan Danielson. He's probably going to come out on top because Bryan's going to be the one doing the honors in his wind down of his last full-time year with AEW. And he's going to – I mean, Swerve's probably next in line to be champion, but Okada's probably going to be right behind him.
Yeah.
Ospreay, I'm sorry. Jeez.
I was going to say Monet, the same thing. I'm going to go further down the road. I want to see Kenny Omega get healthy and what the heck they're going to do with him when he gets back, because we don't know. We don't know where he's going to fit in. So that's what I'm looking forward
to. Omega 3 at All In.
Yeah. And I don't really watch AEW, so I'm going to take my time to say, if you guys are watching this show right now and you like wrestling and talking about wrestling, please follow WrestleW Emotion on
there
Twitter.
There he goes. There you go, Ollie. All right, what do you got, Rob?
Yeah, I feel like definitely a lot of ways they can go. I think the roster they got there is the biggest ever, but is it, do they have too many of like the big stars with, I think a couple of their champions, they're not going to get rid of for a while. Like, I don't think Kingston's going to lose his triple crown anytime soon. I don't know what really what Orange Cassidy is going to, do with that intercontinental, the international. So I think Ospreay is going to be in the top of the card. I think after Swerve, it's going to be him there. Mercedes, she could probably go either way. I think she's going to start with Julia Hart just because she's kind of within that storyline now with Willow and Chris Statlander and Sky Blue. So I think she's going to go after Julia Hart's title first, but I could see her being the world champ by, like he said, by Parthi said, All In. And then Okada, I think you can go a lot of ways with him, and it looks like they're going to go with the trios route to start. So,
but you think Eddie's going to go over Okada?
I don't think you take it off Kingston yet. I think he's been a good champ. They're
separating that.
I mean, Okada just got there, and he's one of these big free agent signings. How do you protect Okada?
And this is the first match where they're like, it's only for one belt.
That is, it's only for one belt.
Yeah, is it gonna be some EVP involvement and maybe an accidental super kick?
Oh yeah, this is where we're all set up for it. Continental rules they're going by, so not supposed to be no outside interference, and then the EVPs show up and just super kick Eddie Kingston at some point.
I see what you did there.
it'll be interesting to see how that plays out tomorrow night. Mercedes, there's so many different ways they could go with that. I mean, Julia, it's honestly putting over Julia in a huge spot to have the first people and Sky Blue to put the first people that they're standing against. Like, obviously Willow had the match and has the history, so it makes sense to put Mercedes out there with her, but shows how much Tony believes in Julia and Sky Blue. And if it turns out that's kind of a tag match or something, the first thing at Dynasty or anything else. But yeah, Mercedes is not going to be long away from the world title. At All In is that would be a great moment and a great spot to do it. So I'd be interesting to see what the TV would be like for her leading up to All In and kind of the way she's going to go. So her promo tomorrow, I feel like, is going to get us more in that storyline direction. Will Ospreay, bro, he's so much. I obviously know how good he is and have watched I've watched a bunch of Ospreay matches in New Japan and everything. So it was familiar. It's everything. Like, we've seen him for years. He's perfect at American television right away. Like, I was not expecting him to come in and just be so charismatic and electric, just being on the mic and like his presence in that arena. He comes across huge. And so they're in a good spot with the new signings, but they got to get past the initial momentum and see where it goes with it. But I was really excited to see what Ospreay, like, beyond my imagination. And now, I mean, him getting a crowning moment at All In would be pretty good too against somebody else as world champion, though, hopefully.
AEW's roster feels the best it's ever been right now, and half of its superstars are injured. So there's a lot of things to look forward to. Mercedes Moné, you could go a lot of avenues with her. Would love to see her at All In potentially, although you might want to save that spot for Jamie Hayter, or maybe Mercedes wins at All In. Jamie Hayter comes back, you get a huge pop. I'm really looking forward to Swerve. I think he's the next champion. Will Ospreay and Okada are going to be shot to the moon. And obviously the return of MJF is looming. So those are the things I'm most excited for.
Oh, well, that's all well and good, gentlemen. But let me tell you something, and it is shame on all of you. There's been a reason that Tony Khan and co. have been able to skyrocket back up the ratings, and it is one reason and one reason only, and it's one word, and it is timeless. Timeless Tony Storm has been carrying this company for months. The shtick is literally top three in all of wrestling, and it ain't three, and it ain't two. Timeless Tony, can't wait to see it. My prediction, my hope, my dreams, she's the champion for the rest of 2024 because she deserves it, and all the other superstars can just fight it out. They can fight it out for the secondary title while Tony Storm continues to put on blockbuster after blockbuster. Folks, stay tuned for more blockbusters, Netflix, and Amazon Primes by making sure you subscribe to all things Wrestle W Emotion. Gents, any final thoughts?
Yeah.
Go meet Raffles.
Go meet Raffles.
Get out of here. Go to the Buffalo bracket. Go enjoy March Madness. Let's enjoy this road to WrestleMania and this great time to be a wrestling fan, because this isn't the show where it's wrestling with your budget. This isn't the show where it's wrestling with your conscience. This is wrestling with emotion.
And watch for the shoe.